Nityasa Tantram Satvatam Achasta Naishkamyam Karmayam Yata. In the millennium of the Rishis, the personality of Godhead accepted the third empowered incarnation in the form of Devarshi Narada, who was a great sage amongst the demigods. He collected expositions of the Vedas, which deal with devotional service and which inspire non-fruitive action. Purport. The great sage, Sri Narada, is an empowered incarnation of the personality of Godhead, who propagates devotional service all over the universe. All great devotees of the Lord, all over the universe, and in different planets and species of life, are his disciples. Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Bhagavatam, is also one of his disciples. Narada is the author of the Nirada Pancharatra, which is the exposition of the Vedas, particularly for the devotional service of the Lord. This Narada Pancharatra trains the karmis, or the fruitive workers, to attain liberation from the bondage of fruitive work. The conditioned souls are mostly attracted by fruitive work because they want to enjoy life by the sweat of their own brows. The whole universe is full of fruitive workers in all species of life. The fruitive works include all kinds of economic development plans, but the law of nature provides that every action has its resultant reaction, and the performer of the work is bound up by such reactions, good and bad. The reaction of good work is comparative material prosperity, whereas the reaction of bad work is comparative material distress. The material conditions in so-called happiness or in so-called distress are all meant ultimately for distress only. Foolish materialists have no information of how to attain eternal happiness in the unconditional state. Sri Narada informs these foolish fruitive workers how to realize the reality of happiness. He gives direction to the diseased men of the world how one's present engagement can lead one to the path of spiritual emancipation. The physician directs the patient to take treated milk in the form of curd for his suffering from indigestion due to his taking another milk preparation. So the cause of the disease and the remedy of the disease may be the same, but it must be treated by an expert physician like Narada. The Bhagavad Gita also gives the same solution of serving the Lord by the fruits of one's labor. This will lead one to the path of naishkarmya, or liberation. Translation: in the millennium of the Rishis, the personality of God had accepted the third empowered incarnation in the form of Devarshi Narada, who is a great sage amongst the demigods. He collected expositions of the Vedas, which deal with devotional service and which inspire non-fruitive action. Om Agyan Timidandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chaksunimilitam Jainatasmai Sigurdave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapidam Inabhutale Shwayam Rupakadamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Hing Shrom Om Parom Tatika Hatika Shudala Adilo Chana Bhadara Kinata This chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. And as we've mentioned on a number of occasions, it contains the Paribhasha Sutra verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Paribhasha Sutra is a verse in any one of the Shastras, any one of the Vedic scriptures, upon which the it is the foundation for that particular Shastra, upon which all the other verses are expanded. For example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 18,000 verses, but they are considered expansions of the Paribhasha Sutra of the third chapter of the first canto. And what is that Paribhasha Sutra? Ete chamsa kulo pumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam mukam vidayute yuge yuge. That of all the above incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. But, and the most important line, krishnashtu bhagavan swayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of these incarnations appear in the material world whenever there's a indriya vyakalam lokam, whenever there's a disturbance created by the enemies of Indra, indriya vyakalam lokam, whenever the asuras get the upper hand, so to speak, over the devas, who are headed up by Indra, the king of the devas. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself as a suitable incarnation within the material world. So Srila Jiva Goswami is the one, the great Vaishnava scholar Srila Jiva Goswami has informed us that this is the Paribhasha Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam, establishing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he requested the six Goswamis to go to Vrindavan, he gave them three instructions, particular instructions. He said, you go to Vrindavan and you re-excavate the lost places of Krishna's pastimes so that in the future devotees could go there and be inspired by meditating on the particular leelas which took place or are still taking place, eternally taking place, and that holy dham of Vrindavan. You establish deities so the devotees can come and worship the deity in that holy abode. And you go through all the Vedic scriptures and you establish that in fact Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because we know that the Vedic literature is very vast. You could say that Veda is a general term. It means knowledge. Veda means knowledge. So the Vedic scriptures, the scriptures of knowledge, they're very vast. There's 18 Puranas, there's 108 Upanishads, there's the Itihashas, the stories, the traditions, that sort of thing in Vedic literatures. To study the Vedic literatures actually would take many lifetimes. Just if you just read them once, there's so much to be read. Vedanta Sutra, very difficult codes. And because there are different classes of human beings, at different times of history, under different circumstances, there's different scriptures for different types of people, for different purposes. Not everyone is on the same level. There are people in the mode of ignorance, people in the mode of passion, there are those in the mode of goodness, and there's those in the Shuddha Sattva. They're liberated, they're beyond the mode of goodness. And beyond them, there's the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord. So there's scriptures for all of the different classes of men to gradually elevate them. For example, there's the Karmakanda. Karmakanda deals with fruitive activity. It doesn't deal with pure devotional service. It deals with becoming, with regulating your sense gratification and giving up the fruits of your activity. It's not a haitakya pratiyata, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. It's the very beginning stages of spiritual life where one begins to control one's mind, one begins to control one's senses. One, as Ishupanishad says, Ishivasham idam sarvam yat kinja yagat yam jagat tena tak tena bunjitaha magidaha kashashvindhanam. Take only what is necessary for yourself. Leaving the rest aside, knowing it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to who? Supreme Ishvara, God. This is not pure devotional service. It's beginning to control the senses. So for different classes of men, there's different scriptures. So sometimes in those scriptures, different points are stressed. The ultimate Siddhanta may not be given. Jivira Supoya Krishnera Nitya Das, that you are the eternal servant of Krishna. And Sarva Dharma Paricha Ja Mamekam Saranam Braja Ham Tam Sarva Papyebhyo Moksha Simasucha. You abandon everything and just surrender to me, Krishna says. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. One may not be ready for that instruction. Full surrender, Atmanivedanam. So therefore, one is encouraged. You give up this sense gratification. Regulate your sense gratification. So one may think, oh, the purpose of the Veda, the books I am reading, Karmakanda, they're saying that the controlling the senses and regulating my sense gratification, this is the goal. Or one may study other scriptures like Rig Ved, Sam Ved, Yajur Ved, where the demigods are glorified because they're very powerful personalities. We should not ignore them. We should acknowledge the hard work they're doing to administrate this universe. That what we're getting is actually coming through the mercy of the demigods. So different demigods like Indra are glorified. For example, Rig Veda mainly talks about Indra. Hardly mentions Vishnu. Just talks about the glories of Indra, the Rig Veda. So like this, so one may think, oh, demigod, this demigod is supreme, or that demigod is supreme. Or one may study the Upanishads, and the Upanishads, generally the Upanishads are dealing with moksha, liberation. Give up all this sense gratification, go beyond the planets of the demigods, become liberated from all material desire, so that impersonal nature of the Lord is described there, the all-pervading nature of God, the Brahman. So one, by studying that scripture, he may think, oh, the goal of life is to merge into the Brahman, like this. But of course we have the Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, where the glories of Krishna are delineated in our, how to develop our loving service for the Lord. So in Mahaprabhu, when he sent the Goswamis to Vrindavan, it was for this purpose, to excavate the places of pastimes, to establish deities, and to go through all these scriptures, the great, all the Vedas, and from each section of the Vedas to show, to point out how ultimately that is meant to lead to pure devotional service to the Lord. Nothing less than that. Savaipum Shampara Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhoksaji Haitakya Pratiyata Yayatma Supasidati. The supreme occupation for all men is that by which they can attain to the unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Yayatma Supasidati. Anything short of that will not completely satisfy the self, because it will not be in our ultimate interest. Sense gratification is never in our ultimate interest. It just gives some temporary pleasure. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. So, actually after compiling all this vast, numerous scriptures called Veda, in which Srila Vyasadeva was giving everyone a chance to start spiritual life, he'd taken the Vedas, divided them into four, he'd given the Itihashas, he'd given the Upanishads, he'd given all this, he'd even given Mahabharat, the greater history of India, where in there is also philosophy. But after having done all that, compiled all that, Bhagavatam describes that he was not satisfied. Something was missing. He'd given all the Vedic scriptures, but in his heart he was not completely satisfied. So Srila Narada Muni appeared. Srila Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Srila Vyasadeva. And he pointed out, he said, of course you're not completely satisfied. You haven't fulfilled your mission. You've only given Kaitava Dharma. You've given Dharma, you've given duty, gradual elevation of human society, you've given Dharma, but it's Kaitava Dharma. Ultimately, it's cheating Dharma, because you have not explained the pure devotional service of the Lord. which is in the ultimate interest of the living entity. Yayatma supersedati, that only when we come to the stage of unmotivated, uninterrupted service to Krishna will we be fully satisfied. Because as long as there's an opportunity for sense gratification, either in fruitive activity or karma yoga, giving up the fruits, regulating our sense gratification, worshipping the demigods, desiring to merge into the Brahman, these are all selfish interests. I, me, and mine. As long as we're concerned about our own selfish desires, we won't be happy, because our real happiness is in being servants of Krishna. So Narada Muni, he mildly chastised Śrīla Vyāsadeva. He said, this is nonsense. This is what you've given as Kaitava Dharma. Of course it has its purpose. But unless you explain the ultimate Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta. Vedanta means the knowledge. Vedanta refers to Veda. So Vedanta, what is the ultimate goal? Bhakti Vedanta. This is the name which Prabhupada's sannyas guru, Keshava Maharaj, he gave. And other of Prabhupada's godbrothers also got this title, Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti Vedanta is an honorary title given to Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Vinod, indicating their great learning, their great devotion, their great service. Bhakti Siddhanta, that the Siddhanta is Bhakti. Bhakti Vedanta, the goal of all knowledge is Bhakti. You haven't given this goal of Bhakti. You've only given some opportunities for sense gratification, regulated or whatever it may be. So therefore, this is all Kaitava Dharma. It's all cheating. You're cheating the living entity of its ultimate. It's like running the race and coming this far to the goal and stopping short. You're going to win the Olympic race and then you stop. Wait, a little. All this is meant to lead to what? To bhakti, to devotion. Krishna bhakti nishkama ata eva shanti bhukti mukti shiri kam akaleya shanta. Only a devotee is peaceful because he has no material desires. But the bhuktis, the muktis, the siddhis, they're all kam, they're full of desire. Therefore, they're not peaceful, they're not happy. Śrīla Vyāsadeva, by the mercy of his spiritual master, Śrīla Narada Muni, he understood these things. So in this verse, we're hearing about the glories of this unique personality who introduced this understanding to the great sage Śrīla Vyāsadeva by his grace. Śrīla Narada Muni, he wrote the Narada Pancharantra, which Prabhupada describes has the same purpose of bringing the foolish materialist ultimate of the platform of understanding what is pure devotional service. And Narada Muni is, he's an eternal personality, and his history is described briefly here, but actually the very next chapter describes more in detail the appearance of Śrīla Narada Muni. He's such an important personality within the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the next chapter, chapter 5 after that, contains Narada Muni's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. And the next chapter, chapter 6, is a conversation between Narada and Śrīla Vyāsadeva. And then it goes on. So there's at least 3 or 4 chapters in which we hear about the personality of Narada Muni. We hear his glories, and we hear his history, and we hear his instructions. And then throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in 10th canto, we hear more about this great sage, Narada Muni, who facilitates the pastimes of the Lord at different points by appearing. For example, he appears to Kamsa, and he informs Kamsa that actually Krishna has already appeared, that 8th child of Devaki, who Kamsa was so much fearing, he's already appeared. So Kamsa should begin looking for him. So as a result, Kamsa begins persecuting so many of the residents of his kingdom, looking for Krishna. So Narada is a very central figure, a very important figure in Srimad Bhagavatam, so much so that he is called Shaktavesha Avatar. Shaktavish avatar. Prabhupada says here, the great sage Rishi Narada is an empowered incarnation of the personality of Godhead. So empowered means empowered to the degree of Shaktavish avatar. Shaktavish avatar. This is a special type of empowerment which the Lord gives a jivatma. Narada Muni is very powerful, but he's not Vishnu Tattva. But by the mercy of the Lord, he's as powerful as Krishna himself in this particular capacity of delivering fallen conditioned souls. Even more powerful than Brahma. Just like our Prabhupada, he's also been described. He was described by one of his godbrothers, Sridhar Maharaj. He also described our Prabhupada as Shaktavisha, or a particularly empowered personality. And it's been described that Brahma, he's empowered to create. He's the engineer of this universe. And that's quite mind-boggling when you think about it. Everything that we see around us has been engineered by Lord Brahma. All the whatever we see in this material creation, that has been created by Brahma under the direction of Krishna. But still, it's quite a feat. He's the engineer. He receives the knowledge, he receives the ability from Krishna, so he creates this universe. And that's, I mean, our modern scientists have yet to understand even a fraction of this universe. And this has all been done by one jivatma. So just, it is amazing to what degree the Lord can empower his devotee. That everything you see in this universe has been created, has been engineered by Brahma. So to what degree does the Lord empower his devotee? But even that empowerment pales in comparison to the mercy or the ability that the Lord gives his pure devotee to deliver fallen conditioned souls. Because Prabhupada said one time that Brahma can create an entire universe, but a pure devotee can deliver that entire universe. Brahma doesn't have this power. Brahma has the power to create. That's basically what he's doing. And he's able, because he's such a powerful personality, he can give benedictions. For example, he's given many benedictions. Even he gives benedictions to demons sometimes. Krishna warned him about this. That he, after the killing of Hiranyakashipu, Krishna warned Brahma that he should no longer give such powerful benedictions to the demons. So he gave a benediction to someone like Hiranyakashipu that it appeared that he was almost immortal. And thus he could practically defy reason, and he conquered the three worlds, Bhur, Bhuvaha, Svaha. He became so powerful, Hiranyakashipu. He achieved all material opulence by the mercy of Lord Brahma. So Brahma is very, very powerful. But as we know in the pastime of his giving benedictions to Hiranyakashipu, he could not award moksha. He couldn't give liberation. Couldn't do that. Actually, only Krishna can give liberation, therefore he's called Mukunda. But even then, Krishna is so merciful that he gave this ability to give moksha to Shiva and Parvati. It's described in Brihat Bhagavatamrita by Srila Sanatana Goswami that Shiva and Parvati, independent of the, they don't have to consult with Mukunda, with Krishna. They can also give mukti. This is quite amazing. Generally we hear that only Krishna can give mukti. But Krishna gave the power for giving mukti to Shiva and Parvati. It's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Brahma, he's not able to give that mukti, but Shiva and Parvati, they can give that mukti. So the Lord can invest his shaktis in his devotees, his powers. In fact, in Nectar, in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says that the Lord is always willing or waiting to bestow his full opulences upon his pure devotee. He doesn't do that to anyone else. He doesn't even do that to the great jnanis or to the great yogis, because obviously they may misuse those powers. But the devotee, he will not misuse whatever power is given to him by the Lord. He'll use it in the devotional service of the Lord. So therefore we see that Narada Muni, he is empowered by Krishna to the degree that he can liberate an entire universe. And therefore we see his business, what is his business? What is the business of a sadhu, a sage? It's to deliver fallen souls. So Narada Muni, he's so powerful that he contradicts the laws of nature. He can fly anywhere within this universe and beyond. He doesn't need a space suit. You see the picture, if you look closely at the altar, if you study our altar, you'll see a nice painting by Ramdas, my godbrother, of Narada Muni, and he's flying to outer space. How is this possible? In his self-same body. We hear also how Kunti went back to Godhead in her, and the Pandavas went back to Godhead in Draupadi in their self-same bodies. They didn't have to change their bodies for another body. Their bodies were spiritual. So Narada Muni, he has a body like that, that he can fly through outer space. He doesn't need to put on a cumbersome space suit with oxygen tanks and to protect from the severe cold and the lack of oxygen outer space. He can travel. He does that. He goes throughout the entire universe, and he, preaching Krishna consciousness, he's empowered to deliver anyone and everyone. And therefore, Prabhupada said he's so powerful that even great sages are his disciples. He's like Prabhupada. Prabhupada means a master at whose feet all other masters sit. That's the definition of Prabhupada. Our Prabhupada, his guru was also called Prabhupada. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was called Prabhupada by his disciples. And when our Prabhupada, when some of the first devotees in New York heard this term, because it's there in Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said that spiritual masters honored with titles like Gurudev or Prabhupada or Vishnupada, then they wanted to call Prabhupada Prabhupada. So they did. And Prabhupada didn't complain in his humility. He accepted that because it's a fact. He's a master whose feet all other masters sit. But when Prabhupada's godbrothers heard that he was using the same title as his own spiritual master, they became very upset. You're using Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's title, Prabhupada? But Prabhupada had attributed it to a little bit of their jealousy or enviousness, because Prabhupada had actually demonstrated that he merited that title. One should not demand respect, one should command respect. So Prabhupada had taken the innermost desires of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach all over the world, to preach in the English-speaking language, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He'd done the impossible, therefore he rightly deserved the title Prabhupada. We sometimes say Jagat Guru. Prabhupada say, who are these Jagat Gurus? They're sitting in some village in India, and they have a handful of followers, and out of sentiment, their followers are saying, Jagat Guru, Jagat Guru, Swami, you are Jagat Guru, Jagat of the whole universe. He's only Jagat Guru of one or two villages. And he's allowing himself to be called by this title, Jagat Guru. This is nonsense. But Prabhupada was certainly deserves the title. A master whose at feet all other masters sit because of the great achievements that he has done, spreading Krishna consciousness all over. So then when Sridhar Swami called him Shaktavish Avatar, then some of the godbrothers got very upset. Shaktavish Avatar? What, like Narada Muni? Yes, sir. But he's only gone to the Western America, and look what he's delivered. He's delivered these hippies. He didn't go to upstate New York and preach to all the wealthy people who would, you know. He delivered the garbage of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada said their only qualification was that they had a spirit of renunciation. They weren't following any rules. They weren't following any regulations. They were fallen. But my disciples in New York, their qualification was they had a spirit of renunciation, and I fanned that spark of renunciation. So they gave up meat-eating, intoxication, those things. This is something miraculous, that you can take these people of Kali Yuga and turn them into dancing white elephants, turn them into blissful Vaishnavas. He said, Prabhupada said, before my disciples came to Krishna consciousness, they were all dirty and unclean and unregulated, miserable and happy. Now they're all clean and dancing and singing and neckbeards. They look just like they've come from Vaikuntha. So Prabhupada, Jagat Guru, Śrīla Prabhupāda, we say sometimes. So these type of personalities, our Śrīla Prabhupāda and Narada Muni, they are Shaktavish avatars. They are empowered directly by Krishna for the purpose of delivering the fallen condition souls. So we'll be hearing more about the pastimes of this great sage Narada Muni, who has sages as his own disciples, whose disciple is Śrīla Vyāsadeva, the literary incarnation of the Lord, who, you know, nevertheless, although he has great sages and kings and queens as his disciples, he's so kind that he'll accept a snake as his disciple. We've told that story many times. Narada Muni has many different, or he accepts a fallen hunter as his disciple. This is the vision of the soul who's completely transcendental to this world, that he doesn't see any distinction. Rich man, poor man, educated person, illiterate, man or woman, he sees that everyone needs Krishna's mercy. Anyone who's in this material world is fallen. So he's giving his association to one and all, and because he's particularly empowered, he's uplifting them and taking them back home, back to Godhead. So we're in that disciplic succession. So therefore we have the opportunity to approach a personality like Narada Muni, a personality like Śrīla Prabhupāda, and beg for their mercy. And Prabhupāda said the spiritual master is naturally very kind to his disciples. So as the disciples or the grand disciples or the grand disciples, many millenniums removed from a personality like Narada Muni, still the potency is there. And if we serve the desires of these great souls, we will get their mercy, as we said yesterday. And what is their desire? The desire is seen in their mission. What is Narada doing? He's not a bhajananandi. He's not sitting in one place. He's always moving. In fact, he's been cursed. Daksha cursed him because Narada Muni delivered one set of sons, 10,000 sons. He made them all brahmachari sannyasis. Daksha means expert at sex. That's really what it means. Daksha, one who's expert at sex. So Daksha was it, but that's not derogatory for Daksha, because Daksha is a progenitor. He's meant to increase the human species. Daksha, he's an empowered personality to increase the species in the universe. So Daksha was expert at sex, so naturally he wanted all his sons and daughters to go to school and get jobs and settle down and marry. Narada Muni had other intentions. So he preached to them, they all became brahmachari sannyasis, and Daksha was very upset. And then he had 10,000 more sons, and they went away to meditate, to get powerful, to perform their duties, and Narada again delivered them and made them brahmacharis and sannyasis. So Daksha was very upset. He said, I curse you that you can never have your own home. You can never remain in one place for a very long time. So Narada was quote-unquote curse, but it's a blessing in disguise, because in this way he's always traveling and preaching Krishna consciousness. So that is his mission, and if we help him, he's the patron saint. You have patrons, just like when I was in South Africa, I set up a group of businessmen as patrons to the Lakshmi and Sringadev traveling festival program, and they were supposed to give $5,000 each year. Last year they weren't able to do it, but they still like to call themselves patrons of the Lakshmi Nrisingadev, because it's a very honorific title to be patron, to be a patron, like a patron saint, one who overlooks, oversees, guides, helps. So Narada Muni, he is the patron saint, actually, he is the patron saint of this Shri Lakshmi Nrisingadev traveling festival tour. That's why those of you who have come recently and have seen his picture on the altar on the left, you may have noticed, why is it that we have Narada Muni there? Because Narada Muni was once traveling throughout the universe, and in Kali Yuga he came across two young men who were fallen on the ground and no enthusiasm, no energy, lamenting. He said, "Who are you?" "Oh, I am Gyan." And the other one said, "I am Vairagya." And no one is interested in us in Kali Yuga. No one is interested in practicing, in studying spiritual knowledge. No one is interested in Vairagya, renunciation. People are only interested in sense gratification. So we are lamenting here. We are useless. No one cares about us. So he said, "Who is your mother?" "Our mother is Bhakti. Our mother is Bhakti." So Narada Muni said, "So I will revive you by spreading Bhakti." Because Gyan and Vairagya are subservient to Bhakti, as we know from the first chapter of second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, that by the performance of devotional service, one naturally acquires knowledge and detachment. Not that one has to practice separately, but that by performing devotional service by the mercy of the Lord, one naturally becomes renounced because Krishna consciousness is so attractive. And by the mercy of the Lord, one automatically gets so much knowledge. Tesham satadayuktanam bhajatam pratipurvikam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Krishna says, to those who serve me with love, with bhakti, I give the gyan. I give the knowledge. They don't have to endeavor separately. You just become my devotee. And all the knowledge and vairagya. So Krishna says, I will spread bhakti in Kali Yuga, and in this way I'll revive these two boys, Gyan and Vairagya. I don't like to see them on the ground. But how to revive them? Through the process of bhakti. And how will I spread bhakti? How will I spread bhakti throughout the Kali Yuga? This is described in Padma Purana. How will I spread bhakti, love, devotion for Krishna? Through festivals. I will be the festival acharya. Narada says, through the medium of festivals, I will imbue the spirit of bhakti for Krishna in the hearts of the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much stressed the Ratha Yatra. Every year he would invite his devotees at great expense, at great difficulty, austerity, to come from all over India. It wasn't you could just fly on Indian Airlines, you know, or take even a train. The train didn't come until the 1800s when the British came. You had to take an ox cart, you had to walk all the way to Jagannath Puri. You're serving Mahaprabhu in Bengal, you're in UP, you're down there in Madhya Pradesh, you know, you're down there in, you know, wherever, Kerala. He'd walk all the way to Ratha Yatra. And Prabhupada also, he knew every year, he said how much it cost his disciples to come from all over the world to the Mayapur festival. He said, "I know you're coming at great expense. It's very costly, it costs lots of money." He said, "But it's so important you come here to the holy Dham for this Mayapur festival, which is basically just kirtan, harikata, and prasadam." So, Mahaprabhu demonstrated how important festivals were. Prabhupada, through the Mayapur festival, through the Sunday love feast, and then he brought the Ratha Yatra festival to the Western countries. He encouraged this festive mood, this festival program. He loved very much Vishnu Jan Maharaj's and Tamal Krishna Maharaj's Radha Damodar festival program, which was like that. It was a combination of book distribution. TKG would push the books and Vishnu Jan Maharaj would do the festivals. Prabhupada loved that program. It was so successful in spreading Krishna consciousness. So we can understand that, you know, we are doing the right thing. This is the right process for devotional service in the age of Kali, because Srila Narada Muni said he will spread bhakti through the medium of festivals. And people will come and they'll naturally become renounced, they'll naturally they'll develop knowledge and they'll get their bhakti, there's some devotion for Krishna. You can say, "Well, not so many people are joining. We're spreading this festival everywhere." But we're planting the seeds. And once the seed is planted, then it will grow And either in this lifetime, some of these people will come forward. There's many we don't know about who are reading these books. At every festival, I hear when I go by the book table, I hear how, you know, I'm asking, are we doing any books? Yes, well, many people come and they bought that book. Why only that book? Well, they have all the other books. What? Yes, they have all the other books. So many times, they're telling me at the book table, people are coming and only taking one or two books. They've already read everything else. So people are reading these books. People are remembering the fact they are chanting Hare Krishna. Our security man, the head of the security company, who, by the way, we invited to come on this tour, just for extra precautions, so none of you have anything to worry about. You can go on with your devotional service without any anxiety. The head of the security and one other man are coming here to live with us and protect our festivals. Of course, it's going to cost a little something. But he was telling us when we were discussing this idea of him coming on the festival, he was saying that since his daughter, who I think is around seven years old, since she came to the one of our festivals, she's been carrying her balloon around the house. It's all kind of like about this big now. And she's singing, Radhe, 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 Radhe. All day night, all day and night. Walking around the house. Radhe, 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 Radhe. You know, the holy name of Srimati Radharani is being chanted with great enthusiasm in the house of just one of our guests. And this is just because he told us, who knows what else is happening out there, what these books are doing to people's lives, what the prasadam has done to their lives, what the chanting has done to their lives. We cannot underestimate, but we can know it has great effect because it is a desire of Narada Muni. This is the way in which bhakti will be spread in the Kali Yuga. It is not up to us to speculate what the outcome will come. We are the instruments. We are the servants, the chela. Chela means like the foot servant, the person who does the meaning. We're the chelas of Narada Muni, and through us, by serving his desire, this bhakti will flood the lands, will flood the lands. So Narada Muni is a very important personality in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in our lives, and on this Lakshmi Nrisimha Day festival tour. So now we should stop the class, and by his grace we should go out and spread the mercy through the festivals. This is the first summer festival. The spring tour is behind us now, and the summer tour has a special flavor. Just like there's a special flavor in Dwarka, there's a special flavor in Vrindavan, there's a special flavor in Mathura, there's a special flavor in Mayapur. So our tours also have different flavors. The spring tour has a particular flavor, and according to Radhe Shyam yesterday in the car, his favorite tour is the summer tour. He said because that's a very festive family mood and people are very happy and very relaxed, although I can't imagine a tour being more wonderful than the spring tour that we just completed. But as we know, Ananda Buddhi Bhavanam, Krishna consciousness is blissful when it's expanding. So let's see. Today we're going to one of our favorite towns. We've coined I don't know how to say it in Polish, but it's known amongst the devotees as the port town. And yesterday when we went on Harinam there, the new capitan, he's a little guy, 21 years old, he came up and he said, you can't do a festival here tomorrow. Your secretaries, they signed the paper for July, not for June. So I said, well, gosh, you know, I mean, we've already been here for a couple of days now giving out invitations. He said, but you didn't, it's not possible. And put him on to Nandini. Afterwards, he went, oh, okay. I don't know what the misunderstanding was, but it turned out he was quite happy there was a festival today. And I was walking down the street, and who did I meet? The old capitan. And the old capitan, he was very happy. He was also asking, when is the festival? And then we told him, and then yesterday we went by his house, which is near where the festival program will be. And in honor of the capitan, all the devotional services he's done, we just had one big Harinam in front of his house, and him and his wife were there waving. We gave them a special darshan of the holy name, the Sangatan, we chanted and danced there. And I've heard that many, many people are talking and waiting for the festival. So without further ado, we'll go forward and do our festival there today. And we're going to set the festival up, but the Harinam will be going to Kuobje. We'll be doing Harinam there because we have a festival there on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we'll be doing Harinam there, coming back to the port down, doing more Harinam there, and then doing the festival. Gantara Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Shishi Gandharvik Girid Hari Ki Giriraj Govardhan Lal Ki Srinarad Muni Ki Or Premanande.